Glory, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, you are good. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here in your house to worship you. So we raise our voice, our singing voice from the bottom of heart. We praise you, Father. So I pray that you, in this room, you would please with our worship service. Father, for the rest of time, we're going to listen to your message. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me to share the message from the scripture and only from the scripture. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be in the heart of each one of us in this room so we can hear your voice and apply for our life. Everything we do for your glory, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you like running or tracking or, you know, exercise in the morning, marathon, 1,000, I don't know, 4K run, 10K run, marathon run, or extra marathon run? 4K? All right, we have some 4K. Any 10K? Okay, all right. Good, good. So you know what I'm talking about. But if you're not doing any running, okay, in the neighborhood in the morning, you know, if you get up early in the morning, you jog around the neighborhood, you find out when you walk or you run or you ride the bike, like yesterday, Leo and Leah ride the bike, we usually encounter other walkers, runners, or bikers. Some of them very much in the middle of the route of the day, while others probably just the beginning of the race or at the end of the race. So when you know the person or where the person in the route, okay, it would help you to prepare your mind. Or you let that person pass you, or you join them and run with them, or you just go ahead and pass them. Okay? Or you just let them pass us. And that's the nature of us if we know the path. And we know the people on that path. And the same thing on the Church of Corinthians. Paul, in the earlier chapter, he painting a picture of the wicked. So Paul reminded the Corinthians believers that they are too were once on that path of the wicked. However, when they came to Christ for salvation, and now they were washed, sanctified, and justified in order to be a godly influence, to lead others, people to Christ, we need to understand where the people are on their salvation journey. Because I strongly believe each one of you have the circle of influence. You know where you are and who you can influence. It can be your friend, it can be your family member, it can be your worker or whoever in that path of influence. So when you understand where they are in their salvation journey, and then you be able to influence them. The memory verse I pick is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Some of you young adults, way back, we talking about marriage relationship. And the same principle, by understanding this, can be applied for marriage relationship. And the word I pick to conclude the series of marriage, way back, supposed to be the introduction of the video series. I picked the word to conclude the series about the change. Okay? So even though I'm talking about biblical principle, theological application, but if you keep in mind the word change, you can apply in the marriage life or relationship. So we can conclude whatever the whole supposed to be 12 video series of marriage relationship, we compress it down to about 6, go through the book of Corinthians. So three things we need to understand. Number one, understand the fate of the wicked. Do not be deceived about sin and judgment, and come to Christ to be washed, sanctified, and justified. Understand the fate of the wicked. Do you know, do you not know, that the wrongdoer will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral or idolater or adulterer, a man who have sex with man, nor thieves or greedy, nor drunkard or slanderer or swindler will inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, very, very strong word. Very strong word. I let all the marriage people interpret this one, but I'm going to look at it from the biblical principles perspective. Okay? So Paul, he begins with the instruction, do not deceive. Do not believe the lie. Do not be fooled. Do not think the behavior we are about to read are acceptable to God. Do not think you can do the things that are described and still remain in relationship with Christ. There is a time that was this sin did not need the explanation. Okay? A lot of things we don't need to explain because we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. So, but we need to understand this act, this sinful behavior. We need to understand the behavior and try to fix the behavior. And when we fix the behavior, everything will fall in place. Okay? Because by human nature, we are sinful. The people at the Church of Corinthians, they try to justify for their lifestyle. They try to do that. They try to justify for the behavior. And that's what happened in the Church of Corinthians. They try to justify for everything. Okay? And sometimes they even blame on God. They blame on God because God put the sinful nature or the temptation in front of them, so they get pulled into that temptation. They try to justify for that. But Paul, he said, hey, do not deceive. Don't believe in a lie. Do not be fooled. Do not think our behavior would be acceptable, because something we know deep down our heart is wrong. And when we know wrong, because if we have Christ, Christ would remind us something is not right. And by understanding this, would help us to pull out. But he also reminded the Church of Corinthians, hey, you know, before you know Christ, you have certain lifestyle, you have certain behavior, it's improper. But because when you see Christ, when you believe in Christ, he would change you. Because when you came to know Christ, that behavior, okay, the blood of Christ would wash that away. And you become a new person, new mind in Christ, okay? So you have new behavior in Christ, and that changes you. Because by human nature, man, we cannot change ourselves. Okay, beginning of the year, how many of you, me, also in there, before I know Christ, New Year resolution, I have a whole list of things I'm going to do, but it may go on for about 6 months, and then I forgot on about it. Okay, New Year resolution, it can be, I will be good with certain people, but after about 2 or 3 months, and this person just burdened me, and I said, well, I can take it, forget it. Okay, love, forgive, forget, whatever, it's out the window. So by ourselves, by our will, sometimes very, very difficult to do. So that reason why when we come to Christ, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to change. Have the strength to be patient, to have the strength so you can have love with a person, sometimes very, very difficult to love. And sometimes when you have that strength, you have that Holy Spirit, so you can see the people of what they are or who they are instead of the color of their skin or whatever else is separate us. Secondly, he said, do not deceive about sin and judgment. The statement here, do you not know the wrongdoer doer will not inherit the kingdom. Do not be deceived. He keeps repeating this statement because the behavior of the Corinthian people at that time, because the society at that time, they treat the adulterer, homosexual, a man sleep with man, woman sleep with woman, lie, deceive, all of that. It is normal with the Corinthian people at that time. 2,000 years ago, you know, in that society, they're thinking that's normal. If we're not careful, the society today, if you watch too much TV or you read too much paper, or sometimes people around you doing it, and you think that's normal. Okay? You have to remember back 2,000 years ago, the people of Corinthians, they think all of that behavior is supposed to be normal. Everybody do it, so I'm doing it. Basically, that's what they say. But you need to remember, sin breaks God's law and offends his character. Because sometimes, you know, even the behavior, even in the thought of doing something wrong, is also considered sin. Because in our lives, sometimes we live, nobody see what we do. People can see you at the church. You seem to be a good person. But when you're in a private life, is the behavior in the church still in your private life? Okay? And that's what happened to the church of Corinthians. The church of Corinthians, people come to church, they like the angels. But when they get out of the church, when they live with their family, they suddenly become a different person. The behavior is different, just like very, very worldly. When they go to work, you know, in the society, they are not a different person. So Christ's behavior or love, whatever, is not exhibited through their life in their private life. It's only exhibited in their church life, but not in the private life. And that's the issue. So that's the reason why Paul, he sent a letter to the people of the church, Corinthians, and he says, do not be deceived about sin. Okay, because sin is sin. Eventually, we will be judged for our behavior, because God will judge the sin of all the people. So don't be as those people, okay, mixed up in the deceiving sin. Eventually, Christ will make the judgment on us. Third point, verse 11 is the key. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Remember, this is the people from the church. And that is what some of you were. So a lot of people in the church of Corinth, they have all of that worldly behavior, worldly sin. Okay, because they live in that society, they live in that environment. So they behave and they act just like the people of the world at that time. And here we talk about 2,000 years ago. And sometime I read today's paper, I say, whoa, it looked like 2,000 years ago. So the word of Paul is very helpful to us. But he said, but you were washed. So what exactly Paul tried to tell us? He said, look at what God has done for you. Remember your past. You may have sinned, but that sin has been washed away. Okay? So you better stop living this way because you are washed clean from your sin. Wash away our sin is one of very much my favorite picture of scripture. It's just like if you study in the book of Acts, like Ananias speak to Paul at that time. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sin. Call on his name in the book of Acts chapter 22. And we also need to recognize we are all ex-sinner. It means before we know Christ, before we pray, accept Christ as our Lord, our Savior, we were sinners. So we very much ex-sinners. But now, when you know Christ, you believe in Christ, okay, you no longer the same sinful person as the past. You have been washed clean. Your sin was taken away when you submit to Jesus Christ, when you pray, accept Him, or another word, when you baptize in the Holy Spirit. Some of you, next Sunday, you will be baptized. So the same message applies to you. Some of you marry, okay? Sometimes the thought of sin, it may get in your mind in the marriage. Just remember, you were washed. The own person is already washed away already. So you can refresh, you can recharge with the power of the Holy Spirit. But he also mentioned in here, you were sanctified. So Christ sanctifies us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. Sanctify is not the word we really use today. But I want to state a simple idea from the scripture. Is sanctify just like you will make holy. Okay? Look at what God has done for you. You were given a new nature of new life in the holy living. You are not giving yourself to this sinful behavior. Okay? You will wash and you will make holy. So what is mean in this simple term? Holiness is mean you were set apart to service to God. So that reason why, remember the first verses read as a memory verse. So that reason why Paul, he's talking about, as you eat or you live or you work, you do the best you can to reflect Christ in that sense of the whole holiness. So it's also, sanctified also mean now you belong to the Lord. Okay, when you belong to the Lord, you reflect the light of Him to all the people. Okay, so you have tremendous influence to the people around you. But another word, he talking about, but you were justified in the name of the Lord. Justified us because He died for us, for our place. Next week, okay, on Friday, we have Good Friday, okay, to remember how that Christ died on the cross because of sin. And Sunday, April the 1st, we have resurrection. Once a year, we go through the ceremony to remind us, because by human nature, if we not get reminded, in about a year, we forget just about everything, okay? But for husband and wife, I recommend at least the reminder had to be once a month. Once a month, date each other, because eventually your life will be extremely busy. Extremely busy. When you just get married, maybe you date to each other once a week. Okay? Or when just before married, probably once a day. Not only phone call, or you eat together, date together. And so when you get married before you had a kid, maybe, I don't know, once a week, eat out. Maybe talk on the phone once. But when you had a kid, had a children, try to remember at least once a month. At least once a month. Or once every 2 months, whatever. Try to find a babysitter to take care of the kid. And husband and wife just go out, relax, forget the kid. Let the babysit, the child care, take care for a couple of hours. That kind of thing. Time together to remember everything. Okay, for the church, we remind Jesus Christ every Good Friday and Easter. And of course, randomly in the sermon, keep refresh the memory. Or else we would forget. Because of our human nature, if we not refresh our mind, within 30 days, we forgot a lot of things. So if you're not doing this in the marriage, remember relationship, the change has to happen. Okay? Recommend husband and wife with one kid, well, maybe once a month. Okay, get into practice. And if you have two kids, maybe once every 2 months, I don't know. Okay, or take the kid out for the day too. That would be good. So we justify. He died up. So sometimes we look at God, what God has done for us. Okay, what God? and reminding us, He died on the cross for us, so He cleansing us, He's setting us apart to our Lord, so we can serve Him. And remember, serve Him is not just you work in the church, because you serve Him so you love your husband, you love your wife, you serve Him so you love your children, even though sometimes the children behave badly, but you still love them. Okay? And you pray for them. And you serve them so you please of whatever you do, at work or at school, so you can do the best, whatever that best between you and God. Okay? If C is the best you can do between you and God, so be a C. But if you can do better, B, if B is the commitment between you and God, the best you can do, and be a B student. But again, if you can do much better, A is the commitment between you and God, be the A student. Whatever that best is. Okay? And the same thing for offering. When you offer to God by money or by whatever, whatever the best you can do. But don't broke the bank and then you go poor and become homeless because you said, I give all the money to the Lord, so I become a homeless. That nonsense, okay? It's whatever the best commitment between you and God. The same thing when you run 4K run or 10K run. You prepare, you exercise to build up your endurance, your muscle, whatever, the breathing, the diet, you know. If you run a long distance, a couple of weeks before that, you have to have high intake of carbohydrate diet or whatever. That kind of thing to prepare. Same thing in relationship, in follow Christ. You have to prepare. You have to have good intake, okay? And you don't, just like you run, some of you run, let's just say 10K, you don't say, I run about 5K and then I quit. No. If I run, I'm running all the way, right? And that's moving you to complete the race. The same thing in school, okay? Good intake, good study, good exercise, okay? And always commit, if I go to school, I would complete the education. Same thing in marriage, okay? Same thing in marriage. When you marry, on your life, you don't have an ideas or even the thought, oh, I'll go halfway and then I quit. No way. Okay? And the same thing when Paul is talking about you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, and the Lord take you apart so you can serve the Lord on the way to the day you die. And that's what he meant. And that, it was some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. I've got the Spirit of God. So what Paul tried to communicate to us, do not be deceived. You have been called to a different life with a new identity in Christ. The old life, whatever it is, have to stop with Christ. So the question this morning I would ask you, where are you in the salvation journey of a Christian? The journey begins when we understand that we are sinners, condemned and guilty before God. So do not be deceived about the future judgment of the wicked. As long as each one of us, we have the breath, we have an opportunity to respond to God. So if any of you in this room, you say, well, I don't know Christ. I never pray except Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. So I would ask you, will you come to Christ to be washed, be sanctified, or justified? Let us stand up. Let's read together. It's miss out one verse. Let's read together this verse. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Okay? I want you to read stuff from the but you were washed. Okay? And put your name there. But I... Right. So remember, put your name in there. It's constantly reminding us we are like hungs that were washed, hungs that were sanctified, hungs that were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Okay? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to worship you. And the scripture reminding us we have been washed and sanctified and be justified in the name of the Lord. We love you and we pray that we would influence other people and help other people come to know you so they can have salvation like us. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the God children in this room from now and forever. Amen.